God's attributes were manifested.
Take retreat. Anytime you see something going on and you don't understand and you know it shouldn't be, then make sure you go and take an assessment of the situation, the approach you are going about. There is a besetting sin. What is a besetting sin? Besetting sin is a sin that don't easily beset you. You want to move forward, it draws you back. The evidence that you are suffering from besetting sin may include wandering up and down. You have no rest place. You have no permanent relationship. No permanent ministry. You start today, you fold, you move to another place. A besetting sin can truly also be reflected in your character that sometimes needs to change. Take a retreat. Change the way you pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And maybe you approach God in that way. It still didn't work. Take a retreat. You may find that you are harboring some unforgiveness. And the Bible tells us, if you don't forgive, he too will not forgive your sins. That means you're a sinner before him, and the prayer of a sinner, the abomination before the Lord. And maybe you are praying in unbelief. He answered you, you don't even know he has answered. Because your problem beclouds you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And some of you have not even been fasting enough. Because some demons cannot go except by fasting and prayer. What of you, pastor? That always complain, for those pastors that watch us online. Some of you, you complain people are not coming to your ministry. They don't come. Your ministry is stagnated upon all you've been doing according to you. Praise the Lord. You begin to say there are no testimonies again. People are not having testimonies. No income coming to the church. Members are dying anyhow. Members are sick, 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 sick. Even your grace has gone down. Two things here. Number one, listen very well, pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. There is no hospital that is a permanent address for any patient. If your church is for people to come when they have problem, it is only problem-solving church, they will come when there is problem. When the problem is solved, they will go away. Or if they stay, the problem is not solving, they will go to another church. You have to take note of that. Praise the Lord. You say you are a pastor. Is your church a hospital, or is it a sheep feeding ministry, or it is just a sheep healing and deliverance ministry? What attracts the people to any church is the testimonies, the gifts, the power, the anointing. That is what will attract them to come. But what will keep them to become your members is what they hear is the word of God. That is the food for the soul. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor, have you been faithful enough in your calling? Some pastors don't even pray. Have you been prayerful enough? Have you been sincere? Have you been patient? Have you been patient? Pastoral ministry must go with patience. If you are soon angry, your anger will drive away people from that church. Because nobody makes the right decision under anger. And people come here freely, and freely they can go. Therefore, you need more than eloquence of your word, more than even anointing, to make somebody become your church member, pastor. Well, some of these things are ministers' conference topics. Even in that church, is it the leadership of the Holy Ghost? Are you led in that church, directed by the Holy Ghost, or your own spirit? Do you take wise or foolish decisions? There was a king in the Bible, King David, David was warned not to conduct census. Against all advice, he conducted that census and brought down the wrath of God. It was God himself that came down. He did not kill David. He killed 70,000 Jews, Israelites. Pastor, that may be the reason why people are dying anyhow in your church. It's because you are not listening to what God is directing you to do. Not the leadership of the Holy Ghost. He owns the church. But you are serving God by your own idea, by the way you want to do. You will create problem for that ministry. Praise the Lord. Oh, that is the truth. And any church too, pastor, you can withdraw and begin to think. When you begin to see people dying anyhow, despite how sincere and faithful you may be, it may be that the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is being fulfilled, that they eat the communion bread unworthily. Eating the communion bread unworthily, said, for this sake, many are sickly among you, and many sleep, many die. Why? Because they come to the communion table unworthily. And I've explained that in the context of that statement, the unworthily there is not talking that there are fornicators among you, there are liars among you, there are drunkards among you. No, that is not it. He's talking about how you deal with one another. You are supposed to come and demonstrate your oneness using that communion. But instead you come, some are not talking to each other. Some are setting traps for one another. Hatred among one another. And in that instance, those same people are coming together to eat that bread. For doing that, everybody in that church, sickness, death. Unless the pastor is wise enough to take a retreat and confront that attitude, it will never stop. That is why it is good to take retreat. Anytime you see something going on and you don't understand, and you know it shouldn't be, then make sure you go and take an assessment of the situation, the approach you are going about it. There is a besetting sin. Hallelujah. Besetting sin. What is a besetting sin? Besetting sin is a sin that don't easily beset you. You want to move forward, it draws you back. You want to move forward, it draws you back. The evidence that you are suffering from besetting sin may include wandering up and down. You have no rest place. You have no permanent relationship. No permanent ministry. You start today, he fold. You move to another place. You start, he fold. You move to another place. He start, he fold. Oh, praise the Lord. A besetting sin can truly also be reflected in your character that sometimes need to change. Take a look at your history. If you see a particular trend that happens around you, there are some ministers that can never work with other ministers in any ministry. Why? Because there is a weakness either of tattling, or betrayal of confidence or trust. Amen. You betray the trust of the pastor. Some even want to take over the ministry from the pastor. Praise the Lord. Display different characters. You put them in any situation, in any office. Maybe in that office they are making money there, small, illegal money there, because he's a thief. Judas. Praise the Lord. They are not devil. I didn't say they are devil. Those who are devils, they prosper. But evidence that you are a child of God is this wahala all around you. They put them in a position in a church where they are making kobo. Immediately the pastor removes them from there. They get angry and begin to work against the church. Subtly on the ground, background. When the pastor finds out now and drives you or steps you down from the office he gave you, then that is when you will know who he really is, his true character. Listen, church, your true character is not known when you are sitting down like this. The true character comes when there is a squeeze. A flower, the aroma of a rose flower, you only smell the perfume when you squeeze it. The spirit that is in you will manifest when you are attacked, when you are squeezed. That is when you will know whether you are converted or not. Praise the Lord. And many of us, when God himself is dealing with you, so that you will take a retreat and go back to him and say, Father, I won't do it again. I know where my fault is. Give me another chance, Lord. Give me another chance. Praise the Lord. Some of us, the problem disturbing us is stealing. Anywhere you go, something must disappear. Your whole life in a magnet, magnetic other people's things. Lying tongue. When you lie, finish, they find out you're a liar. Nobody around trusts you again. Then everybody's running away from you. Or you're a gossip. Carry heads to knock heads together. Praise the Lord. Or you're a fornicator. The problem, impatience, also besets you. Beset there is you are supposed to move forward. You move backward. God places you where he will crown you with a glory. You use your bad character, and then they send you back to where you were before you got to that position. It's a besetting sin. But the time comes that you look back at your life history and you look at the trend. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What of married couples? You know how you were when you first married. You and your husband, you and your wife, the whole neighborhood immediately. They knew, they know. See, they will used to envy you. It's lovey, 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 everybody. But somehow, now no more peace between you. You should be sincere to say, why is it? It is only through a retreat you can take a look again. Why is my marriage like this? Where did we go wrong? And such people, you are not looking for somebody to find fault. Listen, finding fault in somebody will not change the situation. When you go to accuse the person, you are the one that is causing it. It will not change the situation. It is about you. Even if you know the fault is his own, is to look at yourself and say, how will I do now to cope with that? How am I contributing to his being like that? Face yourself first. And God will take care of him. And God will take care of her. You know when the thing started now. You know now. It's not when you started going out with other girls. And she found out she didn't trust you again. Sister Uncle, you know now what jealousy can produce. You know what he found out concerning you. He found out you lied to him before he married you. Years after he found out the truth, the situation cannot be the same. Sister, you know now he tolerated your anger for long. It will reach a point where when this woman is angry, she insults me. And it gets to a stage where he can't take it again. When he begins to respond, then you are wondering, why is my marriage like that? But take a retreat. You and your girl, you have been serving him. He used to love you so much. All of a sudden, he's changing his mind towards you. He's no more giving you as he used to give you. He's no more trusting as he used to trust you. He's no more relating with you as he used to relate. Praise the Lord. Stop going to say, it is this man, it is his wife that is influencing, it is his mother, it is you. Listen, a retreat. Amen. Amen. A retreat can only be successful, fruitful, result oriented if you are sincere. Stop passing the buck, as English people say. You're a student, you're always failing. Amen. You will know now. I used to pass before. Why am I failing now? Check it very well. You will know where the thing happened. if you retreat. Your business failure, you should retreat. Your business is stagnated, you should retreat. And then you will find out, do you even pay your tithe? Maybe I'm owing some vow, because God promised. He warned that he would demand it if you make a vow. Maybe you are holding a vow. You have not paid. Do you give? Are you a giver according to the scripture? Somebody say you lack favor. Anywhere I go, no favor, no favor. By the time you take a retreat, some of you, you may find out that it is what I give, I receive. I am not a giver. How can I be a receiver? I don't favor people. I cannot receive favor. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Press down. Shake it together. Running over. If you give, you will receive. I'm just saying. But I'm a giver. But I'm a giver. But I'm a giver. How do you give? Praise the Lord. It may be affecting how favor comes your way. Praise the Lord. Do you live a life of always thanking God, or you are always murmuring? There are some people, when they call you, when you see their number like this, you say, hey, this one don't call. From beginning, every time, it's just grumble, grumble, grumble. In fact, amen. I have better wisdom of disengaging myself from them than my wife. My wife is more patient than me. Amen. Some of you don't even know how to relate with people. That's why some people don't pick your call. I don't know if you have jammed this type of people that have this type of attitude. Immediately they meet you, their first word for you is to place you on the defensive. You didn't even see me for so long, you didn't even ask of me. You see, you will now begin to beg. And now, you have forgotten your son. Now, daddy, you have forgotten your daughter now. You have forgotten your daughter. So what am I to do? Now to the beg. Now to the beg. Sorry now. Anyway, they know they do it to me because I know that spirit. So I confront it. I will turn it back to you. And tell you, yes. Did you call me daddy? Say yes. Have you called your daddy? Then I will show you Malachi chapter 3. If I be your father, then where is my honor? I know my Bible. Stop that thing. Because somebody will hear you at the gate, you are coming. They will say, I beg. Tell him I'm sleeping. I'm not around. Because he knows you are coming to spoil his spirit. Every time nothing is working. This one, I have prayed. I have this. And the next question you will hear me ask is, hey, brother. So what do you want me to do? Is there any alternative to prayer? If you know any other thing other than prayer, let me know. I know it's prayer. I said, then why are you calling me and talking? I said, sure, we have been praying together. He said, so are you, what are you doing now? You are telling me that the prayer, what would they pray? No work now. So what do you want me to do? Hey, I just said, let me share this with you. Share what? Share your grumbling, share your faithlessness. And anybody that works with God by murmuring, you never progress. Because God hates murmuring. Praise the Lord. I will soon round up.